हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Krishna Sandarbha, Adhyayana 4, Adhikarna 2, The Glories of the Eternal Associates of Krishna, page 87. That's 87?
80 or
90? 80. Got too enthusiastic. Is that 107? Yeah, that's what I say. 107, yeah. Like that. Let the glory of their good fortune be eternal, Eka. Now we devatas, the 10 protectors of the directions, are most fortunate. Footnote 4. Eka dasa can mean incomparable 10 rather than 11. Incomparable 10. Shiva, Sarva, is mentioned first because he is the chief among them, being the greatest devotee. The good fortune is illustrated, right? Because they're doing by who's the greatest devotee, because they're discussing with the Lord, they're discussing that, so they're going to bring out that, so then headed by Shiva, because he'll be the greatest devotee. You know, if they were talking about, you know, the senior most or the most wise, then they talk about Brahma, or, you know, if they're talking about, you know, who's managing the place, then, you know, it's Indra, you know, like this. Making the senses of the people of Braja, such as the eyes, into cups, we also directly, etat, repeatedly, asakrit, drink the sweet nectar from your lotus feet. The beauty of his feet is expressed by the dvandva compound of three elements, madhu, amrita, and ashava. The compound can be also be a modifier of etat. Even conceding to the faithless who think the people of Braja are material, the people of Vraja were material, the devas would not enjoy by using the senses of Vraja's inhabitants. Right? Right. I say. Does that make sense? Because they control the senses of all the living entities, but they don't enjoy through the senses of the living entities. So even if they think that they're material, the Vrajavasis, then their statement wouldn't work. You know, they may say, see, they're drinking through like that, they do that, they see. No, they're just in control. They're not the enjoyers of the individual senses. So therefore, this must be spiritual. They're just saying, we do all these things, but in actuality, they have their own transcendental spiritual senses, the Vrajavasis. But because they're seeing how they're doing, then they enjoy. Does that make sense? Just like you see someone else happy, you become happy. Mm. Like that. They're looking, and so therefore you look. You know, they're laughing, you see what's funny, and then you laugh. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing.
So it's indirect.
It's indirect, but because they're in such ecstasy about the Lord, they're identifying themselves with the Vrajavasis through their position as devatas. Mm-hmm. But in actuality, then it's not actually a real position. Does that make sense? It's just like, let's say we had some brothers. One brother became very, very big.
Yeah.
So it's some kind of gathering and all that. And, you know, the other brothers who are very affectionate come up and put their arm around him. Yeah, you know, we're the greatest and all that. But actually, no, he's the greatest. Mm-hmm. But because they identify with him, therefore, then they have that feeling. So then the feeling that they have, the feeling the brother has, all that, it all moves very nicely. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, footnote 5. Another meaning of Ekadasa is 11 deities of the senses. The sense deities would use the devotee's senses to drink the nectar. Tasya cha nityatvat. Jivas and devatas are controllers because of the eternal will of the Lord, who is the chief controller. Brahma Sutra 2.4.16. Shankaracharya has commented on this sutra by saying that devatas control the senses of the jiva, but do not enjoy through using those senses.
Hmm. So who is enjoying?
The Brajvasis are enjoying, but because they're seeing that enjoyment, and so then they're enjoying.
Mm-hmm. So in the sense of material living entities, the deities are in control, but the jiva is the enjoyer.
Enjoyer, okay. Yes.
So it's the same principle.
It's the same principle. It's just what the acharyas are pointing out because of their ecstasy of Krishna consciousness and appreciating the glories of the Brajavasis and their relationship with Krishna, they're identifying themselves in that whole process, even though technically, mechanically, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So it's a good aroma.
Yes, it is. Yeah, like that. Anucheda 140. Previously, Brahma said, "Let that be, O Lord, my greatest fortune, in this birth, or born as an animal elsewhere, or preferably in Braja, is to take birth as one among your devotees and serve your lotus feet with full devotion." Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.30. He repeats that prayer again. "My greatest possible good fortune would be to take birth in any form in Mathura, in Vrindavan, in Gokula, and have my head bathed by the dust falling from the lotus feet of any of its residents. Their entire life and soul is the Lord. Mukunda, the dust of whose lotus feet is sought even today by the Upanishads." Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.34. "By attaining birth in Gokula, I would have the constant fortune of serving your lotus feet." Sarva Sambhadani. Iha means in an area of Mathura, or in area of Mathura. Atavyam means in Vrindavan. Brahma wishes for a birth in Vrindavan and furthermore in Gokula within Vrindavan, Gokule Pi. What type of birth does he desire? He desires birth such that he receives the dust from the feet of someone among the inhabitants of Gokul. Anucheda 141. How can their good fortune be described? Ah, by their bhakti, you are completely controlled. You are trapped by them. O Lord, quote, O Lord, what can you give to the people of Braja, whose houses, possessions, friends, dear ones, bodies, sons, life, heirs, and hearts are dedicated only to you? Since there is nothing superior to you or Braja, which you have already given. Thinking of this, my mind becomes bewildered. You awarded yourself even to Putana and her family members because she wore the disguise of a nurse. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.35. Udriti, Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur. Brahma, perhaps you do not want to say if I can attain the dust of the feet of the inhabitants of Braja, but please answer one other thing that I am now asking. What reward can you give to the inhabitants of Braja? This is the question I ask you, because they've given everything to Krishna, everything, so what can he give them? Right, because their only interest is Krishna, so there's nothing else that, you know, there's nothing within the material realm that they can be given. No opulence, no facility, no position, because it's all just used for Krishna and absorbed in Krishna. Lord Krishna, Brahma, though you are knowledgeable of the meaning of the Vedas, you cannot understand the answer. Brahma, our minds, not only mine, but those of Shiva, the Kumaras, and others, are bewildered about this. What is the state of our minds? Our minds have become bewildered, trying to think, ayat, of what kind of reward you could give them from anywhere or any time. As you are the final reward of all, Vishwafala, and you have already given yourself the final reward as their son since eternity. But if there is some other thing you have worthy of giving, you should give it to them. But there is nothing else you could give them, since you have given yourself already. Thus their minds are bewildered. Krishna, O Brahma, you are really ignorant of the truth. Knowing they would manifest such astonishing spontaneous devotion, I have in advance given myself to them as their son. They are satisfied with this. I am knowledgeable about what to do in the future. In this way, I have defeated you. Right? Because Brahma is saying, they're surrendered like this, you know, to yourself. So what can you give, since you are the ultimate goal and they already have you? So that means there's nothing you can give them. But he's saying, no, I know that their spontaneous devotion, that's great. So before that's manifest, I've already given myself. So I've given myself in advance for, because they're saying they've done some work, there should be some result. He says, no, before they've done the work, I've already given the result, because I know what what work they're going to do. Brahma, oh Krishna, if you talk like this, this is how I answer. You are certainly doing what is proper. But although Putana was sinful, just by imitating a devotee, she and all her family attained you personally. But the inhabitants of Braja, who gave up all attachments, such as house, wealth, friends, objects, body, mind for you, out of great affection, also attained you. Same body that you have given to the low, sinful Putana, you also gave to the most exalted jewel, the most exalted jewel, the most exalted jewel-like inhabitants of Braja. This is, in essence, highly improper. Acceptance of your indebtedness to them is your atonement. Sardartha Darshani 10:14-35. So we see that with the gopis, that he says, there's nothing I can give you. Right? Sad Veshat means because she wore cloth similar to a person with a pure heart, i.e. nurse. She attained a position suitable to a nurse. Thus, having these positions in Braja for an infinite succession of kalpas each time, the Lord manifests in this world. These devotees bind the Lord with their bhakti. It has been correctly stated that he is eternally their friend, and thus Brahma's aspiration to be born in Braja is suitable. Sarva Sambhadani. Kim Rataha means what can be given. Ayat means his mind goes here and there. It means he's thinking. Anucheda 142. It is seen that they have attachment like other humans. How then can they be eternal associates? This is answered by Kaimutya.
Kaimutya
Brahma.
Oh,
okay. Another name of Brahma.
It's,
yeah.
Not it's not with the capital letter, so I thought it's some kind of term.
Hmm. What's that?
Probably term.
Yeah.
It's kind of a term.
Yes, but it is Kaimutya. I think I went through one place where Lord Brahma is the one who's called as Kaimutya.
But is it? But she's asking: is it like a position or something rather than a direct?
Yeah,
name?
I should look it out. I forgot again.
You know, is it like, you know, the president rather than?
Yeah, yeah. Like I forgot.
Yeah, because then you could always put that. Tavad ragad dayas stainas tatvad kara griham griham tavan maho gri nigado yavad Krishna nate jana. Oh Krishna, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves. Their homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14-36. Udriti, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. The sannyasis will object that the inhabitants of Braja are fallen in the net of material life, in the form of attachment to sons and wife. However, what to speak of the householders of Braja, even your ordinary devotees in other places, are superior to the sannyasis. Attachment and aversion are great thieves because they steal the great treasure of great bliss from the soul. The souls are bound up in the prison of household life, so they cannot criticize the Supreme Lord after having lost their wealth. As long as people do not get the mercy of your devotees and become your followers, they remain in that position. When they become your devotees, they develop attachment for bhakti and aversion to things obstructing bhakti. They become absorbed in you. So this is the thing, those that obstruct bhakti, they don't have aversion for anything that can be used in Krishna's service. It's only those things that obstruct bhakti, that's the problem. So that's the fine point is that whatever is there in their facility, they use it in Krishna's service. What's useful? What's not useful, that's what they don't worry about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so that's the whole thing. So we see is that like the devotees are not doing the Pitri Puja or the Shraddha rites or these kind of things because they're not useful for them in Krishna's service. They don't enhance Krishna's service. Right? So those things are given up, though they're rules to be followed. So those rules regarding their nature, then that are useful to serve Krishna, those are kept. Anything else is considered an obstacle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you see, like in sixth canto, then we see those great kings that are there, the emperors of the world, then they're showing the example because so many people are, you know, are not on that platform. They do all the Shraddha rites and everything, but they're doing it as a service to Krishna to set an example so that others will be elevated. And they'll see how, from their position with their attachment, they can be engaged in the Lord's service. So for them, it's not an obstacle. But for the general devotees, they don't bother with those things. Does that make sense? Or let's say you have a family who's very much into these things, you're a devotee, they're not, then you participate in those things because it makes them happy and then they feel they're part of the family, they identify with devotees, and so they take part. But you're only doing because it's Krishna's rules. Krishna's given these systems to elevate, you know, the those who are specifically not devotees. Right? You know, just take it to a higher level of closer to sattva.
Yeah.
You know? But for the devotee, then you do those things, and everything's peaceful, and you have proper relationships. Otherwise, they're always, you know, grumpy. But it's not that you have faith in them, and it's not that you say that they're bogus. They're proper, like that, for these individuals. But as a member of the family, you're taking part. So you see is that whatever's obstructing bhakti, that's going to be the problem. You know, just like, let's say, there's devotees in the early, especially the 60s and 70s, then to stay at home and stay in their community would be an obstruction to devotional service. Because no one understood, no one had any appreciation of this, and the devotees themselves didn't necessarily know how to explain all these things or to be fixed in such a way that they could be in those situations. So for them it's advantageous to be in the temple. But then as you have the devotees mature and all that, they can accommodate how, you know, family life and all these things are connected to Krishna. And you have devotees as the family people rather than just the karmis as family people. You have to be part of that family. Then now communities naturally develop. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know? And so then that's developing because it's useful to engage the devotees in that position in Krishna's service. And it also, you know, you have a community that others who are in that position now can be shown how they can be part of devotional service in their position. Well, before, where's the example? Everyone's just living in the temple. Basically, hardly anybody's married. Like, remember one lecture Prabhupada saying, you know, hey, where's Vamanadeva? You know? Or maybe Vamanadeva? I think it's Vamanadeva. He said, where's Vamanadeva? You know, he said he's out, you know, he's out. And then a little later, partway through the lecture, he comes in and Prabhupada says, Vamana, where were you? You know, I've already started the class. He says, oh, I have a job. I'm working. And Prabhupada, oh, okay. You know, just sit down and like that. You know, so being a family person, having his job, then he's attending. So I mean, when we joined, he was the only one I knew that had a job in Krishna consciousness, you know, like that, you know. So it was. And so, So it's just a matter of that. Therefore, then the community, if the community is Krishna conscious, then it's a good thing to have. But if by being involved in community, no one's Krishna conscious and it's not going to be favorable, then it's not an advantage. So that makes sense. In the same way as the programs at the temple and all the different things, and the temple is the center of activity, like we see with the Goswamis, everyone goes to the temple for the big programs and all that, then that's a favorable thing there for the community in the temple that has a very good relationship. Does that make sense? So the idea that it's only temple, no community, or only community, no temple, they may have their place when there isn't one. Right? Like Chokpari started off just a somebody's home, no temple. And then gradually as it grew and the community grew, then the community built a temple and then they all come together there. Right? Or you have a temple, somebody starts a temple, there's only temple and people join the temple, but with time then slowly a community develops. So it's just whichever is favorable. That's all for the situation. So what's right is it's good for Krishna consciousness. What's wrong is it's not good for Krishna consciousness. It's very straightforward. So this idea that no, it's not right or it's wrong or the moral things or people won't understand, these things aren't the actual position. It means we can't do that because people don't understand and they'll criticize. But they're going to criticize anyway. You know what I'm saying? You say, oh, but if we wear like this, they'll criticize. You wear karmic clothes, they'll criticize you. Because you'll look like a slob, or you're wearing something else that's different than them. It's you know, it's too fashionable. It's not fashionable enough, or it's fashion, but it's the wrong fashion. Or, oh, that's 80s, you know. And so, you know, stuff like this. Nobody wears the right thing. You know, you have 2-3 people that you appreciate them, but at the same time, you know you're doing better at it. You know? Or it's that because they're best and you're not quite up to that standard, so then... And that's it. You know? 15 million people in New York and it's only 3 people you actually think dress properly. So there's no such thing as that has any validity or stand in Krishna consciousness. I mean, like zero, nothing. You can say, no, but we have to create a good... But why do you have to create a good impression? What's the reason? No, because otherwise then they won't, they'll think it's funny and that... Are they going to join because you dress like they do? People move to New York because, wow, they're all wearing pants and shirts. I want to move to that place, you know. We live out in the Appalachians. We only walk around in bearskins, you know, like that. You know, it's really cool, the pants and shirts, so I'm going to go there. Mm-hmm. No, nothing. Zero. It's a major, major mistake. So that's what Brahma is pointing out here, is that these Vrajavasis, everything's dedicated to them, to Krishna. That's what makes them unique. It's not because he's God. It's not because he's great. It's not because of this. He's just the nicest person they know. They want to do everything connected to him. And everything they have is dedicated to him. That's what's unique about the Brajavasis in the cosmos. Not in the universe. Not in the Mahatattva. Not in this, you know, in Vaikuntha. No, in the whole cosmos. They're unique. So this is the interesting thing and unique thing of Braja Bhakti. Yes, in the other forms, in Vaikuntha, yes, you're following the rules, you do all the rules, you set all the rules and all that. You see, even in there, there's a spontaneous mood. Ramanujacharya, when he got the mantra, though you're not supposed to, because this mantra can benefit everyone, he went out and said it for everybody. You know? They have their private Pancharatric mantras, but this is not a Pancharatric mantra. You know, I mean, it can be within the sphere of it, but it, you know, it's a general. I think it was Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, right? So then, you know, he's saying everybody can chant that.
I think Om Namo.
Oh, Om Namo Narayanaya. Same as. Yeah. You know, but then when you see, you know, like this, then you take it seriously. Like we chant Hare Krishna, and then we get initiated into the process. So he was seeing that this is one of those kind of mantras. You know, so it wasn't a Gayatri or something, that you don't say out loud. So therefore you're going to have within that those who are advanced can see the things a little bit better. But the point is if you have a situation where the people can't relate and all that, and they give you trouble, and so then if you make some adjustment, they don't give you trouble, and Krishna consciousness can go better. You get something done. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would have some of his devotees dressed in the three-piece suits with the spats. You know spats?
No.
Spats are, you generally see them, much of the time nowadays you only see them in military uniforms. They have the shoe or the boot, and then they have a thing that goes around the ankle that goes down right over the top and goes underneath the shoe to hold it on. It holds it down. It, basically, for the military, it keeps dirt and stuff from going down their shoe,
yeah,
you know, or a boot. Yeah. But before it was like a fashion. It would have that, but it'd be a fashion. You know, it would keep the water off from that, but it was a fashion. Like they'd always be white or something.
Yeah.
You know. So then, if you are wearing suit with spats, you just don't get better than that. So he sent them out like that. That they weren't going and talking to the Indians or this or that. They were going to the British and getting work done. You know, preaching them and this and that. So he didn't have a problem with that. Because it was favorable there. Because then they're not going to, oh, okay, you know, you dress like us and this like that. You know, so he got the work done. But if it's just a matter of, oh, they don't criticize, and so I feel better because people don't look at me funny, then what's the point? They're going to look at you funny anyway. You know, at least they look at you funny, they looked at you, but otherwise, most people, they don't look at it at all, so at least you stood out. You know, and then they're thinking about it. Then they'll wonder, who are these guys in the bed sheets, you know, and that, and then, you know, they might inquire, they might look it up, they might next time go by and check out more, you know, and oh, they're out with drums and, you know, hand cymbals and, you know, what's going on? Yes?
I mean, nowadays, we see the phenomena that, you know, the people in general are very shallow, and that, like you explained, you start preaching and you start Ananda Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't match anybody's consciousness in the mm-hmm. audience, you drop to Vijnana Maya. That is like they don't understand what you're talking about, because moksha, who's interested in moksha? I mean, in one sense we are, but we want to take all the luggage with us into mm-hmm. into the moksha realm.
Yes, yes. Moksha means no taxes. No school, no work. You know, that's
Then, okay, Manamaya, Dharma, this is like, forget about that, because, you know, I do and I express myself how I want. Then you drop to Pranamaya, many people are interested, and then you mix some Anamaya with it, then everybody's into it. Mm-hmm. So the argument is, you know, why bother? Just go into those two fields, Anamaya, a mixture, basically mixture, because I just read an article recently, somebody sent me, it's an interesting article about the new generation, those who, like you explained previously, they don't look around them, they look only into the screen, mm-hmm. they don't see anything outside of their screen,
mm-hmm.
and this is how they identify themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they divided the whole humanity into two categories. Those who think I and those who think we.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. Nobody thinks beyond that. Which means basically Anamaya and Pranamaya mm-hmm. on a lower level.
Right.
So some devotees say, why bother, you know, Ananda and then just go to them and give them, because there's a demand.
Mm-hmm.
Give them ritual, give them you know, some simple way of achieving some, you know, immediate results.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the way to bring masses into society. And of course
society meaning
ISKCON,
okay.
And of course there is an opposition.
Mm-hmm.
The opposition says, well, Prabhupada didn't do that, so how, you know, he wanted the Krishna consciousness to be spread around the world. Means the whole world should participate in it.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't use cheap means to attain that goal.
Right.
So, you know, there's a conflict.
Right.
So how can we...
How can you... Well, the thing when you were mentioning about the prana, the Anandamaya, see, is that preaching means you're discussing Anandamaya, but you're using as, let's say, wording or examples or logic, you know, in the field of the other four koshas.
Mm-hmm.
We don't preach Anamoy Pranamoy. We preach Anandamaya. We may give an example, just like, you know, the baby, and then he sees this, so he puts it in his mouth, he's inquisitive, or birth, death, old age, disease. These are things they can relate to. But we're not working in their fields. We're working in our field, just showing them how it connects. Okay? That's what you do. Because you can say you can bring them into the society, but bring them into the society. What great thing you're doing. There's already 1.4 billion Hindus. So you're going to make a few Westerners into Hindus? Whoopee! You know, just close your eyes and look at the you know, the numbers of residents of Bharatbhumi, and it's already increased more than whatever you could ever make in your lifetime. You know, oh, you got 30 people like that. One village already did that, you know, overnight. You know, it's like, you know, so what's the big deal? You made some Hindus. Because if that's okay, then, you know, why? What about all the Indian people? Go out and preach to them, you know, Hindutva. You know, nationalism and this and that. I'm sure they would be really excited and all that. All these Westerners go out there and say, yeah, you know, Jai Hind. You know, they would be very enthusiastic. You know, so why do you do that? If you're looking for followers, if you're looking for Dunham, Junham, and Sundareem, what are you doing wasting your time with all these honkies? You know? You get in there with the Indians, they'll go right for it. They'll lap it up.
You'll get many subscribers on your YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, you'll get subscribers beyond where your wildest dream. If that's what you want, is Dunham, Janam, and Sundareem, go for it. But if you want people to become Krishna conscious and take, in other words, if they don't take up, they're favorable to Krishna consciousness and take up chanting, you know, then you're not actually getting anywhere. But otherwise, you go into academics and just teach them academics. You go into economics, teach them that. You go into the social, you teach them that. It's like, unless you're a ridiculously good, then who can do that? You know, it's like in our movement, we have a handful of people that can do that. And so now what about all the other hundreds of thousands of preachers? Then they can all just pack up and go home to mommy. Because they'll never make, I mean, like, literally, they'll never make that. I'm not joking here. Right? But if you go in and give Krishna consciousness, then you see those early devotees that had that conviction and went out and just preached that, though they would deal with the local scene. They did things that none of these people can do. None. Like I said, just as a, you know, example for at least in my generation, they went to England. They had no place to stay. They stayed with the Beatles. That would be like saying, I had no place to stay and all that, so, you know, I just hung out in the guest house of Lord Indra. You know, it's an equivalent of saying that. There is zero hippies that ever personally interacted with the Beatles like those few devotees did. Living in their house, or chanting together, they're discussing the philosophy, eating together, walking around the garden. Nobody, zero hippies that did that. You know, it means that are joining our movement. Maybe one or two. You know, Allen Ginsberg maybe, or, you know, this one or that one. But I'm saying it's like this, but the guy did it through that. And now you want to do this stuff? It's like, sure. Then why that field? That's because it's your conditioning. That's why you're comfortable. So it works because it's your conditioning. You have that ability. Go for it. But it's just like how many people you do. The guy's in a big corporate position. I mean top corporate position. I mean ridiculous top corporate position. You know? I mean, as far as authority and power, higher than Ambarish. You know? Like that. Maybe not as rich, but as far as influence and power, way more than that. gives that up, surrenders to Prabhupada, and now he's got one of the biggest zones in the world, one of the most richest, biggest book distribution, I mean, the top of everything. And that's because it's just Krishna consciousness. Lives that simple lifestyle, Krishna conscious lifestyle, very detached, very renounced, very simple. You know, doesn't get involved in day-to-day management. He's a GBC. Why would he? People complain, oh, he doesn't know what's going down on the ground level. He's not supposed to. He's a GBC. That's what the temple president's supposed to know. He's supposed to know, is the temple president Krishna conscious and acting in a Krishna conscious way? Are his people Krishna conscious? Who's on the schedule to sweep the floor or wipe the floor after breakfast? Why does he need to know? And so what he's doing is like amazing. So you have these people that are in that corp, they give that up and come to Krishna. They do amazing stuff. And then we're saying, oh, you can't do the, we have to go out and become one of them. Then the question is this pleasing Krishna or just pleasing themselves? They're happy with it. Oh, I have, you know, 10,000 followers and all that. But are any of them are chanting? So then it's just a matter of, hey, that's every YouTuber wants that. You know, you got your little plaque, you know, you get your money, you know, you get all the things like that, and so you're a professional YouTuber, yeah, you know, like that, great. But then don't say that it's preaching, just say that, you know, you're a devotee, you got to maintain yourself, you got to engage yourself, and so you're doing this as an occupation. You know, like the guy working at the university. Don't say you're preaching. You know, just say that you as an academic by nature are doing that to make a living, to feed your family so you can be Krishna conscious. Like someone else's, you know, driving a truck. They do that to please, to maintain the family so they can be engaged in Krishna service. Don't try to make it into some glorious thing. If that's what it does to maintain, go for it. Why not? Who cares? You know, we've had guys that are huge YouTubers that join and take up and stop YouTubing. And they had followers probably well beyond most of these people who are saying the philosophy you're saying. And they gave it up. And then some of them keep it. Or they don't do such a big thing because they want to spend their time in Krishna consciousness. Do a smaller for a more serious group. You know, if you have 50 million followers, you know it's going to be shallow. You know at any moment, any comment you make, they might leave. So one has to see is that if you're not giving Ananda Maya, but through words and examples and situations in their life that they may be in prana and anamoy, that's fine. That's fine. But it shouldn't be thought that you're doing that great thing, because guaranteed most aren't absorbed in what they're professing is not actually pranamoy, it's anamoy. So, I mean, that, everything, the dogs are doing that. You know, we could go out and do dog, you know, sankirtan. You know, just go out every day, cook a whole lot of, you know, something that dogs like to eat, you know, that's easy enough to make and transport and that. Go out to the different areas of the town where all the wild dogs, you know, stray dogs are, and every day just feed them, you know, like that. And, you know, all those dogs will become humans next life. You know, then you expand, you know, you're every city in the country, you're feeding the dogs. So, you know, you're feeding, you know, 500,000 dogs a day. That means 500,000 people are becoming humans next life. And because it's prasad, there'll be an inclination towards an inquisitiveness in Krishna consciousness. They have to take it themselves and do it. You know, so yeah, go for it, you know, if you want to do that. But at least it's prasad. You know, are those people all taking prasad? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, you know, whatever you're teaching, are they taking prasad? If they're not chanting, they're not taking prasad, they're not hearing about Krishna, then this whole call, oh, I'm giving mode of goodness. You have to understand mode of goodness technically begins at manamoy. If you're dealing below that, you're not dealing in mode of goodness.
Yeah.
Western culture, if you're just being, in other words, if you come from Anamoy up to Pranamoy a little bit and care for others, that's called spiritual. And so therefore, yeah, I'm mode of goodness. But technically, actual mode of goodness is when you understand you're the soul, not the body. That's why Manamoy is there. If you know you're the soul, you're following God's laws. Therefore, if I'm doing this out of duty because I should, it's a lifestyle in goodness, but actually my desire is still passion because I want to go to heavenly planets. You know? So it means it should be real. I mean, you can engage yourself. This is what you want to do. Do it. But stop claiming that this is the cutting edge of preaching, because where are the devotees? Say, oh no, so many are there. Yeah, but can you talk to them about pure devotional service? Or are they more attached to that area that you've given them connection with? So if they are, understand it that it's a lower level. It's not the same as what Prabhupada did. And you can say, as you can't do that now, people are doing it right now. Just like what we said before, one country, you know, had 50 temples, this, that. They felt we can't do Harinams, we can't do all this and that, we can't do the regular, you know, programs and all this kind of thing. You know, it's not working in the preaching. You know, so what are we going to do? And then they hear in Russia that the preaching and the devotees and the, you know, they got suddenly 100 temples, which is double what they had in America. 100 temples in a very short time. Once the place opened, within a very short 100 temples. And not only that, one Indian gentleman was so inspired, he gave 100 sets of deities. You know, what happened to them? That's another story. But whatever it is, he gave 100 sets. He was so inspired. Like that. Tens of thousands of devotees. Like, so one of the GBC men, who's, you know, more kind of analytical, decided, okay, let me go there and see what they're doing. And when he came back, he gave a report that basically just, they're doing what we used to do in the 60s and 70s. Everybody said, oh, it can't be done now. It's Kali Yuga, it's this and that, you know, because we're in control of it, because I'm not into it. Therefore, I'm the Lord of Kali Yuga. Therefore, it can't work in Kali Yuga. It doesn't matter if Lord Chaitanya said this is the process and this and that. You know, you can say whatever you like. No? But it worked. And so then it was thought, oh, maybe Harinam's not so bad. So now, you know, a few temples. London does Harinam on a daily basis. I think New York does like that. You know, they naturally do out in, you know, the West Coast there, wherever. What's his name? Vaisheshika is like that. I'm not sure if LA does. I think there's some place maybe in Colorado. There's a few places. But, you know, it's okay to do Harinam. You know, it's like, you know, like that. But the thing is people also say, you know, where are you guys? So one has to understand is that if this is eternal, the process is eternal, means it always works. You have to use your brain to make it work. So like you said, if you've tried and you're not, and then you give up, that's not a glory. You know, if it's about numbers, and that you know, that what is that for? You know, I can't sell diamonds, so I'm selling, you know, bits of broken glass. I got so many buyers. See, I'm doing better than you. But it's like, how many of those people are going to do anything for Krishna? So one has to appreciate that there's no such thing as they're going. What are they preaching? Is pranamoy anamoy? What does that mean? You have to be preaching the philosophy. But using terms, that's what Prabhupada did. So listen to his lectures. There's plenty of things where he's talking to straight karmis. Cold audience, never seen him before. Like that. He's one, you know, I just listened the other day in Melbourne. He's talking, he's at the church. There's a monastery just up from where the devotees are. Then it was about two or three blocks up that main road along the beach. And that, and he talked there to those monks and then whoever was their congregation. You know, and the, you know, the whoever was the, I guess the abbot or whoever was the head of the monastery, then he asked him to speak on what are those, you know, aspects of religion that are universal. So he spoke on love of God. And so religion is supposed to, you know, make you develop love for God. God is one, so it's not that there's many. So it's not that there's a Christian God, a Muslim God, and you know, there's one God. And then you're looking at the features. So if you're looking at it, oh, he's the judge, some people will be attracted. So you're talking about he's the, you know, Lord of everything, some others will be attracted. But if he's the most attractive person. He's attractive to everybody. Everyone's attracted to the Lord. Therefore, that's simply in Sanskrit is called Krishna. These other names are just defining certain qualities. So it's not that it's a different God. It's not, oh, Krishna is a Hindu God. No, just that's the Sanskrit name for God's all attractive. If you have that name in your language, then fine. You know, like Prabhupada said, you know, Krishna, Christo, Christ, you know, it's the same root.
It's the same root.
Yeah?
Well, that's some people say.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so the point is that the devotees, now the same point is they're working in a field that they've figured out how to talk to that field and get their attention. All you have to do is now make the actual subject matter Krishna consciousness, God consciousness. You know, if they're not on a level that you can talk about Krishna, you talk about Lord, talk about God. Bhaktivinoda Thakur does that. Once it's established and they start to understand, then you introduce what's the meaning of Krishna. What's the meaning of Govinda? What the names mean, how it works, and how that's a universal principle. You know? Because otherwise, just to talk like that, then why spend your time? Go move on. Because guaranteed, how many people do they have that are really serious? You know? So try another field. Or another area, or another business, or another something. You know, probably go to, you know, he spoke at Buffalo and all that, and I think 7 or 9 devotees joined. He spoke at, you know, that famous one in Sweden about the four brothers, one joined. You know, so he goes and like that, and then you move on. This thing is, well, the only thing we can do, because it then is the goal that you have people coming to your lecture and appreciating your lecture. If that's the goal, then they're doing a great job. But if the goal is to teach people about Krishna, bring people closer to Krishna, that's what human life is for. Prabhupada said that's what this mission is for, to bring people, the devotees and people in general, closer to Krishna, the divine entity. It's one of the 7 purposes. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're supposed to do. And if you say, this is all more I can do, a prashad, okay, can you work in some other field where you would get? And if you're not, then okay, work there. But don't present it like this is the cutting edge, this is the latest, we're doing the best preaching, no one else, you can't do this other stuff. We're not fanatics and trying to get people to chant Hare Krishna like that. We're being realists. Don't use that nonsense. Just go, okay, this is what I can do. And somehow or another, they're a little connected to Krishna, and so that's as good as I can get them to go, and that's as good as they want. And so, you know, be happy. But don't present it like, you know, you're Genghis Khan and you just took over Asia, you know. You know. So that's, you know. Because otherwise, you do bump into those devotees. And when a few of them, they do get some devotees, it's true. But then when you're talking, you know, the direct thing and talking about pure devotional service, they object. They can't, no, but you know, we can do this and this and this. It says, yeah, that's okay in the beginning, but higher is this, and they're on the mindset that what I'm doing is the highest. You know, do I have to wear a devotee? No, that's for fanatic guys. You know, we're more like this. So they have it reversed. So they may be preaching and say we're trying to establish them in goodness, but there's some serious ignorance there also. Because they identify with the body, identify with those particular external attachments, and then they have a problem with those that are dealing with pure devotion. You know, so the aropya goes to the extended. So I'm speaking very general here, because I'm sure that there are some individuals who through these problems come up and become very nice devotees, but they've had to at some point give up the attachment to that thing. And so if that happens, then you can say, yes, it is. But you can say, is I'm working down here and eventually, but not this thing, oh, we don't preach Ananda Moya anymore. Then what are you preaching? Because if you're preaching Prana Moya, there's a lot of people doing really good. You know, and then which side of Prana Moya? You know, because Prana Moya simply means a group of people that they have a particular values. Are you particularly traditional values, modern values, you know, where is the stand on abortion? Where is the stand on gays, trans, all these different things? You know? Like
you
that.
You say that Hitler also preached Prana Moya in a sense.
Yeah, it was nationalism. And it was, you know, very few got as good as audience as he did. And they were dedicated. You know, they go out and die for the cause. I'm not sure if these guys would. But I mean, you see his actual footage of, like, you know, all the people there. It's like, man, they're all exactly in line, you know, in a grid. And there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of them, you know. So, yeah. He preached Prana Moya.
Yeah, it was not
Ananda Moya. No. Oh, the ones that he considered that were kind of on that platform, they went to the retirement homes in Poland, you know.
Early.
Huh?
Early retirement.
Early retirement, yes. Early retirement.
He thought that his idea was actually beneficial.
No, he really thought he was doing something nice, you know, improving the quality of the society, discipline, having some goal, working very hard, improving the quality of the people that are around like that. Because say what you like, people nowadays, you know, there are people who want to get rid of people who they consider are of inferior genetic material. You know, it's not necessarily connected to any particular group. It's just that if you fall within this, that more sickly, more this, more that, less intelligent, like that, there are people that have philosophies, they want to get rid of them. And they're not small people. You know.
They're even bigger.
Huh?
They're even bigger.
Yes, yes. It means they're taller than 5 foot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... one has to see is that it's not so glorious. It's already seen the glorious Prana Moya. But the thing is if you talk, they're not satisfied. They're looking for more. You know, so whether Mana Moya or Vijnana Moya, then that's going to be different. But Ananda Moya, that's the universal principle. That's the one principle everybody can relate to. You can give all your examples in Ananda Moya. Like before, I always give it in cooking, especially potatoes. Like everybody can relate to that, you know. You know, I don't know, maybe nowadays, oh, potatoes, too much starch or something, you know. So it's just a matter of having that faith and just seeing that that's going on. And if it is just a matter of, yes, no, we do this, it takes 2 years to make him into a devotee, but they become devotees, great. You know, but this thing is, oh, we can't tell them about Krishna, we can't chant, we can't, no, not about the prasad, you know, we're just being, and just so that I can get people to come, and because I have people coming, that's considered a glory, you know. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, no one's there, the four walls will listen to you, that you're speaking about Krishna, even though no one wants to hear, that's still a glory. He never said, you know, fill up a stadium with people who don't want to hear about Krishna, and that you're speaking and the stadium is there and cheering, that's a glory. Never said. So if it runs up, like I mentioned before, is that one devotee I know runs a yoga studio. It's a very, you know, well-known yoga studio. And all that. But he runs a program, you know, an open program. So it's not just those who are part of the scene. The open program, and it's generally like a two-hour, two-and-a-half-hour program. He starts off with just, you know, the monitor, this, that, so many things, all this new-agey jazz. But by the end of the 2 hours, they're all chanting Hare Krishna. You know, it means nicely. They do kirtan for like that. They all take prasad and everything. It makes lots of devotees that move in. And that they, in their position, they stay in their devotees. You know? So, yes, it takes time. He's not starting off there, but he takes, like you see, Prabhupada, when he starts, he's talking about the absolute or this or that, and then within, you know, the half hour lecture, he brings it up even earlier. So this, it takes 2 hours. Someone else, it takes 6 months or 2 years. Fine, as long as they get there. But if it's just, they just, we've got a crowd, we're holding the crowd, and we're keeping the crowd, and if we do anything, bring, introduce Krishna consciousness, they'll all go away, then what's the point? Okay, you got a crowd. Whoopee. Jai. You know, Reverend Moon does 25,000 marriages at once. I don't know, he might be dead now, but he used to. They used to have stadiums, hire a football stadium for having his programs. There's people like that. You know, so I mean, you talk about crowds, these guys got crowds. You know, I'm sure that there's, you know, I mean, Lady Gaga gets more crowds than, you know. So do these guys at least look that good? You know, or can sing nicely? Or, you know, so I mean, that's how that works. You know. You know, if she dressed more conservatively, she might have less followers. So I mean, it's just whatever you want. So if getting followers is what's important to you, then that's okay. But as long as you have to engage your nature in Krishna's service. So if your value is volume, either the fame side of it or the volume side of it, then you have to engage that in Krishna's service. Because the higher level is that they're following the rules and regulations, they're following God's laws, and that doing the right thing. That would be the higher engagement, that would be an engagement of a higher nature. Or they have to have the real knowledge and actually know what the universe is and what's, you know, otherwise, how popular is all these things where people are trying to say what's the real thing going on? The conspiracy is all about that, trying to get at the real truth. You know? So then, you know, you speak on the platform of knowledge, but then the highest is speaking on Shuddha Sattva, you know, on devotion, pure devotional service. Does that make sense? So they have to see that it goes through and how they're connected. Otherwise, then, nice, you know, it's supposed to be a glory. Yeah, you know, 200 people come to my programs, and then I go, oh, great. And what do you do? What's the Krishna got? Nothing. So then, how is that? Oh, we speak about a little Indian stuff, this and that, and we're just trying to bring him to goodness. It's kind of like, are you in goodness? Before you joined, were you in goodness? You know, now, what do you do that's in goodness? Can you explain goodness? Goodness means following the laws of God due to obligation. Right? Without attachment, because you're supposed to. That's the mode of goodness. Who's preaching that?
I guess Krishna and Bhagavad Gita.
Yes. Okay. But what I'm saying is, of those who say, oh, we're just preaching mode of goodness, I guarantee they're not preaching goodness.
It's not a popular idea.
No, so therefore why say, oh, we're just bringing him to goodness? Don't say these things. Just say that it's the only thing I can do to get people to come to my program, you know? So.
Because you can't say I can bring them to ignorance.
Yeah. know, I'm bringing them to a higher level of, a thinner level of good, of ignorance, you know? Means, you know, yeah. You know, so that's great, but then, great, okay, you're bringing them to here. Now you're willing to have some devotees come in and run a regular program to bring them up. No, they're my people. You know, you disturb them, you know. Don't disturb the minds of the ignorant. Oh, but I thought you said they were in the mode of goodness. You know, so it's it means the variety and the individuality is so nice. That, you know, Prabhupada was very clear. He didn't want, you know, all the bureaucracy and centralization, because it reduces individuality. You know, that's the point of these things, is get rid of individuality. It makes it so-called easier to manage. But you're managing humans. You're not managing machines. If they're machines, then great. But if they're humans, they're individuals. So how each individual, it's going to be quite unique. Even within those who are doing exactly the same thing, it's going to be slightly different. You know? There's always some difference. You know, this brahmachari keeps his box with his stuff in it in the closet on the top shelf on the right. The other one keeps it on the top shelf on the left. The other one keeps it down on the floor. The one keeps it in the back behind the shoes so that nobody sees it. Someone else keeps it under the stairs. You know, someone else keeps it in the garage because nobody goes back there, and then you've got some time to himself. You know, so everybody's got, but they're all following the same program, chanting, doing all the things like that. There's always individuality. So in the preaching, there will be the individuality, but you have to see that it goes through. Preaching means pure and alloyed devotional service being presented, you know, from the presentation through the wording that someone on, Dharma, Artha, Karma, or Moksha can appreciate. But once you catch their attention, then you start to bring them into devotional service, into pure devotional service. You know, so it's a gradual process, that's understood. But the only thing that's going to drive them forward very nicely is chanting. Chanting and taking prasad. That's going to make everything else happen. Otherwise, there isn't going to be no mode of goodness. You know, otherwise, you know, how you say? Okay, we made them vegans. Pigeons are vegans. You know, and generally when you say somebody who's not so smart or a bit, you know, their thoughts are a bit scattered, you call them a bird brain. Yeah, we're making bird brains, you know, yeah. You know, so what's the glory? There's plenty of people already working on making vegans. Why do you need to make more? You know what I'm saying? We're Krishnatarians. We're not vegans. And that's the problem. So when it comes down to Krishnatarian or vegan, those who join from vegan preaching, they expect the temple to be vegan and Krishna to be vegan and everything. So their veganism is more important than Krishna. As long as Krishna supports a vegan, then he's cool. Yes, and these are the problems. Probably like devotees wanted to preach, you know, doing all the rock and roll and the music and all that. And Prabhupada says the problem is those lyrics like that, then they're kind of ethereal lyrics. They're not exactly directly necessarily talking about devotional service. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But people become attached to that kind of poetry. And they can't deal with the direct things. You know. Now, it's one thing if you're already a musician and you're already doing that, you know, then you bring it in as much as possible. But you see, it's when George Harrison got involved in that, they did the Radha Krishna Temple. That was the record. The cover was the manor with devotees sitting around and all kinds of things. And, you know, he's chanting Hare Krishna in his, you know, things. And, you know, so he was a musician, so, and then he'd do this, but these others are only going to hide it because we want to, you know, get established first. And when are you established? How you start is how you end. You know, I saw a community, they wanted to live without electricity, but they built the buildings and all that with electricity. So then no one's living without electricity. You want to have no electricity? Build it without it. Use the old technology that didn't require electricity. Then you can live in that house without electricity. Yeah. This idea that the end justifies the means doesn't work.
Because it's a political thing.
Yes, it's political.
Actually, Machiavelli, he was a philosopher.
Oh.
But in political field,
that's
how he became so popular.
Okay.
And Mussolini and Stalin, they both took that as their like, they actually practiced it.
Okay. yeah, because he was like a serious niti, right? You know, it's like you know, get rid of your enemy, you know, root and branch. You know, leave nothing because they'll come back and get you later.
Well,
sorry?
Mao was also good.
Yeah. like that. You know, that's the SECs. They use the lower. And they say no religion, so then you can't have dharma. And the art is based on religion, so therefore niti is a generic thing that's supposed to be used. Niti is supposed to be used supporting artha and dharma, but they use niti on its own, because that's all that you'll have left. You get rid of dharma, then you see they don't have artha. They run out of money, so all they have is niti.
Yeah.
Stalin just died
natural
death.
Natural,
so that means his niti worked. He got rid of, 30 or 50 million people, and he died natural life. Yeah. Natural death.
He also was lying in this...
in mausoleum. Next to Lenin.
Next to Lenin for quite some time.
Almost for 20 years that he came him out.
Oh, really? Who got rid of him?
I think Khrushchev.
Khrushchev.
Because he's actually the same type of mentality as Stalin, but not quite aggressive.
Okay.
But psychologically, you know, because historically they did that research, so they put him in the same group. He was same but less aggressive.
Why didn't they just put him, have him arrange that he goes on the other side? So he has.
No, he went to that place, I guess. That's why.
Just move him over one, and then you. So each whatever premier or whatever it is, then he
secretary,
then he's got his spot.
Like 11 guesses.
Yeah, it just keeps going.
One point it has to stop. So
yeah, that's true. So he thought, okay, he was looking to the future, so it'll stop. Okay.
Stop the parampara.
Yes. So the point is being clever to preach in these various areas using these kind of aspects. But the point is you're only using that as the bait. You know, it would be just like this. Let us say, okay, use a rough example here. The man goes out, he puts out a line, and on it is a hook and some bait. He catches a fish. He just leaves it there. Wow, I caught a fish. So he puts another line. And after a while, he puts hundreds of lines. And on all the lines, he's all got fish, but they're still in the water, just there. Will anyone say, wow, this is fabulous? You've caught tens of thousands of fish, and they're all still in the water there. No?
Ahimsa.
Yeah. Until the bigger fish figure out what you're doing, then they come and eat all those fish. So the whole point is that the bait may be, some they'll say it's pranamoy stuff, but it's actually, if they're using Vedic, it'll have to be something that's the Shastric aspect. Or if they're using the modern, it'll have to be some self-help or economic or something like that. But that's the bait. Then you're supposed to bring people closer and closer to understanding who they are as human beings and how they're servants by nature, and then the highest position of servant is God, because any other service here, that will be lost. But you serve God, that's eternal. So why you wouldn't want to bring them up? So...
yeah.
So it's a matter of appreciating the science of Krishna consciousness and being able to present it logically according to what is the actual, mechanics that are working, and use those wordings that people can relate to. Does that make sense? Because it's not that they can't get used to the Sanskrit also. If they do, that's nice. But I mean, I remember discussing these things on management in context of the Chaturvyuha. And one of the devotees runs, he has his own business and stuff. And when they're having the meetings, then they discuss these things based on Chaturvyuha, the actual Sanskrit terms.
Is it in India?
No, it's in Europe.
Wow.
And so then he was saying, it was funny that he's presenting something, because like, you know how we see is that sometimes the aspects of Aniruddha and Pradyumna or Aniruddha and Shankarshan are sometimes little subtle. And so then the person, so this point you're making here, is this Pradyumna or is this something? That's what they're asking him. And so they have the discussions on that. He's been running his business like that for, I don't know how long now. That's some many, many years. So it's not that they can't get used to these things and the terminologies and stuff, but even if you're not, it doesn't matter, because the acharyas, you see, they do both. They start off without them, and then sometimes where it's necessary, they use them, and then explain it. And then now you know when he uses that word what he's meaning. The idea is bring them to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, then why we would spend that time? You know, in other words, if he's putting in X amount of hours a week and so many hours per year and over so many years, but if he's not making devotees, that same endeavor, why doesn't he go somewhere else? Go out and do books or preach at the Sunday programs or, you know, do something else. Go to the colleges, go to somewhere else where that same endeavor, then there might be some result. You know, if his result is simply followers, then great. But then, are you at least making some profit that you can maintain your family or something? Or at least it brings in money for the temple? You know, if that's not there, then what are you doing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, because it's, you know, it's otherwise, it's like that that one with the Brahmin and the Mohammedan gentleman in the water. No? There was, I think, with Brahman, he was going and he was out somehow or another, the traveling and that, and he was out in the, you know, basically, no water. He was super, super thirsty, you know, like about to die kind of thirsty. Then he comes across a Mohammedan residence. He comes there and asks him, you know, do you have any water to drink? I'm so thirsty. And so then the gentleman goes into his house, brings out, but there's only half a glass of water. He says, I'm sorry, this is all the water we have in the house, you know, like that. Because, you know, in villages, much of the time you have the drinking water, you go and bring it, you know, so whatever, they've used it, so he has that. And so he's lamenting, I'm losing my caste, but I'm not even satisfying my thirst. So, you know, what are you getting from it? I mean, if you're looking at it, you know, if you're working on the level of pranamoy, where's the profit? Because the whole thing is about profit. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada commented one that once, and yes, he fell down and he saw his home. He said, that's a pity.
Yeah. He fell down for her. Yeah, he says.
Yeah.
Well, that's the point. What are you gaining? On no level are you gaining. So then, so yeah, that's the whole point. Is that you're supposed to move forward. You know, you're supposed to ultimately Krishna consciousness. But even if you're doing economics, you should get results. You know, you're eating something. It should be, you know, how you say, taste proper, be healthy, be digestible. Like that, you know, you're doing the religious things, at least you're getting the benefits from that, you know. So that's the thing, Krishna consciousness, all those things that are useful in Krishna consciousness, we engage from Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha. They're assisting bhakti. Bhakti is the original, right? And so then they're simply assisting bhakti. But it's not ultimately about that, it's ultimately about pleasing Krishna. So those things, Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha, being engaged in Lord's service, those are indirect because they can be used for Kama and Jnana. Right? But you can engage in Krishna service, so they're secondary. And then they're used. Does that make sense? So the religious elements are secondary that are engaged in the service of the primary. So they're never primary. That's why, again, Rupa Goswami didn't establish Varnashram as one of the nine processes, as Dasya. Because it's secondary. What he was giving there is our primary. So,
yeah.
It's okay?
Sure.
Yeah. So we don't mind the wide variety of preaching. It's just a matter of get effect. You know? Remember when, I think it was Atmatattva was in America. Can't remember what city in that. And there was a devotee there. I don't know if they're still doing it, but at that time he was doing prison preaching.
They still do.
They still do, yeah. So, you know, that devotee took him to give a lecture in the prison. You know, it was the most arranged, you know, we have something like that. And, you know, when you go in, they check everything like that, and there's this thing you have to put your hands into, you know, to just see that you don't have something inside, you know. In other words, a wolverine would not get through there, you know. And so then, whatever. So then he went in and he gave, and it's just straight Krishna consciousness. He'd make it in the context of them. He was talking about how, you know, the material world is Durga. You know, it's a prison for the living entities giving up God consciousness. So just like here, is that you have the society like that. So, you know, you have the aspect of that, but right now, since you here, work on getting out of the material world. And I think it was a serious prison. This wasn't the, you know, it wasn't the white collar prison. You know, this wasn't the one with the basketball courts and the cyclone fence around like that. This was serious stuff. And at the end, you know, after he finished and like that, some elderly kind of, you know, prison guy, you know, you could see he's very mature, very serious. He came up to him and shook his hand, said, "Thank you very much." You know, he could really relate, and he really got something from it. But he was doing that shake with both hands.
Yeah.
He put something in his hand. So then he didn't check there. Because there's guards and everything, you just put the hand down and all that. And then when you went through going out, they also check.
Yeah.
But because what it was, he was inside the hand and he didn't see. But also, it was of the nature, it wouldn't be seen because they're looking for steel.
Yeah.
When he got out, it was a 24, you know, 24 karat gold Rolex. So you know this was a big guy in the prison. He gave his watch like that. So then Atmatattva gave it to the devotee.
Whoever arranged that?
Yeah, who was the prison preaching guy to, you know, sell that and use that money for his preaching. But, you know, that's just giving straight Krishna. But you make it a contact. They're prisoners in a prison. Talk about prison. Why we're in prison.
Yeah.
And they can relate.
Using Haridas Thakur technique. He used to preach. Is it him? Was it Haridas Thakur in the prison?
Yeah.
He was in a Muslim prison.
Oh, okay.
They took him to prison. So he used to preach and they got really upset.
But
then they appreciated.
Okay. Yeah, like that. Or Nityananda Prabhu would preach in the pubs.
Yeah.
You know? Like that. You know, so the point is that the range is so wide, and so it's not that an individual can't, you know, use their own intelligence to find newer and newer fields to preach in. I mean, there's 7 billion living entities, you know, around here that you can preach to. Like that, you know. We're leaving out the, you know, dogs and cats and stuff like that. You know, so you can do. You know, like in the Dunamaris, they went up. They were doing a tribal preaching. Go up the Amazon and then do programs. You know, kirtan and prasad. You know, with the locals and talk a bit about the absolute and all that. And, you know, so it's so many things you can do. So it's not that, it's not a, it doesn't, you don't have that individual. You just have to know what you're trying to gain. You know. And then you see, is it worth it? For the effort put in that you get. You get a devotee, then it's worth it. Yeah, okay. When they become your devotees, they develop attachment for bhakti and aversion to things obstructing bhakti. They become absorbed in you. So that thing, we're absorbed in Krishna, then we'll look at what's favorable for that. Just like, let's say, if you're really hungry, then you're going to be looking for to get something to eat. So in your consideration of situations and activities, you're going to look at it, what's favorable to get something to eat and what's not favorable. Like, I could walk this way and, you know, it's the closest way, but I'm going to bump into so many people, they're going to talk so much, it's going to take me 45 minutes to get there. I could walk around this way, which is longer, but I'll be there in 10 minutes. You know, that kind of thing. You know, so it's just a matter of what works for you. And it's just, if you're absorbed in Krishna, then you think of what's favorable for Krishna. So that's the whole thing, be absorbed in that level. These thieves, attraction and repulsion, expecting to grasp the great treasure of unlimited knowledge and bliss, when they become fixed in you, give up their bad qualities and instead do good service to others. Right? So attraction and repulsion. So they're attracted to Krishna and repulsed from the material world. Because otherwise attraction and repulsion is just whatever level of consciousness you're at, what's attractive to that level, what's good for that, cultivating that level, you'll be attracted. What's not good for cultivating, you'll be repulsed. Like, I want to be independent. God consciousness or God and God's laws is going to be opposed to my being independent and doing whatever I want. So I'm going to reject that. You know? And then, you know, things that, you know, think about it, what you want, attract it, you know, make it happen, you know, you are there, you can do it happen, you attract, the whole universe is centered around you. So if you think it, the whole universe starts to adjust just for you. I mean, that's a pretty wild philosophy.
That's the law of attraction.
Yeah. But the point is, what they don't know, Krishna's sitting here, the modes of nature there, they know what's there. They're just taking you down like the bull, you know, going down the thing. You think, I'm attracted. No, you're just following the path. You know, you have your choices. You know, do I eat the grass on this side of the road or that side of the road? But, you know, it's not that you're going to decide, you know, I'm going over to that, ice cream, you know, stand and getting a, you know, a double sundae. No, it's grass here or grass there. You know, so the thing is they're seeing the one side is yes, but then if you're looking at the whole universe, but it's centered around them, yeah, that means God's whole universe and universal form, He is arranging everything for every living entity. In other words, He's in control of every living entity. And every living entity has their small amount of independence that He is then providing for according to their good work. You don't get it unless you deserve it. You want, you deserve it. You work for it until you qualify. Is anybody telling them that? Because if you tell them that, that'll expand their consciousness. Then you want to know about this person, how to develop a relationship with this person. But it'll only go up to there and stop. Right? You know, so therefore then the attraction and repulsion are thieves, because all they do is steal everything away from your level that you're at. But when attraction is to Krishna, repulsion is to material consciousness or anything opposed to pleasing Krishna, then they become servants. Then they do good service. Huh?
Recently we heard a really beautiful example that if you have a circumference, how is it called? The
circumference. Circumference means the measurement of the outside of the circle.
Yeah. So he has one center.
Mm.
But if you destroy the circumference.
Circumference, okay.
I just can't pronounce it. So then this center can be anywhere.
Hmm. Yeah, then you could be the center.
Yeah. And another point that this circle is a tradition of hierarchy. You destroy it, you can be the center.
Yeah, yeah. Because otherwise you're the circle, not the center. Now you get that.
Yeah.
But and because there's no circles, then they don't notice that all the centers are conflicting with each other.
Yeah, that's the third point, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, because they'll think as yes, then well, you're God, I'm God, we're all God. Remember, Hridayanandamaraj once was saying, so you're God and I'm God. Yes, we're all God. Yes. So I as God, because God means the supreme authority, right? He says, yes. So I as God say you're not God. You know, so I think the adversary was Panchadevita Maharaj. Because he used to always, you know, with Prabhupada, he'd always argue the Mayavadi. He was really good at defeating Mayavadis, so he, you know. So. The house, which was a prison by performance of pious and impious activities, binding them up, becomes a means of attaining the eternal Dharma through activities of serving you and singing your glories. When the jiva becomes the devotee, through activities of serving you and singing your when the jiva becomes the devotee of Krishna, then the bewilderment, moha, from objects, formerly wife and sons, becomes causes of the expression, anubhavas, of prema. Right? So when one's focused on Krishna, then here, the family, then they become, through attraction and repulsion, they become the thieves that take everything away. But now you're absorbed in serving Krishna, then they simply become expressions through which you're expressing your love for Krishna. How can the sannyasis compare to this? My son, Sanat Kumar, has said the following to show the inferiority of such people and superiority of the devotee. The ocean of nescience is very difficult to cross because it is infested with many dangerous sharks. Although those who are non-devotees undergo severe austerities and penances to cross that ocean, we recommend that you simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like boats for crossing the ocean. Although the ocean is difficult to cross, by taking shelter of his lotus feet, you will overcome all dangers. 422-40. Would be Srimad Bhagavatam, no?
Yes.
And the inhabitants of Braja had even thousands of times much greater prema than these Grihastha devotees. Though you are the Purna Brahma, you show yourself as dependent upon these devotees by taking the form of their son. Sardartha Darshani 10:14-36. Right, so they have even thousand times greater prema than these Grihastha devotees that are just taking the family and engaging in Krishna's service. Because here it's that Krishna is fully the center. Right? And so that in that way then everything just becomes connected. He's just pointing out that Sanat Kumar, you know, who are brahmacharis, they're pointing out that this kind of Grihastha is better than the sannyasi who's not a devotee. The grihastha who's a devotee is better than the sannyasi who's not. And then Brahma's pointing out that, you know, and that's very nice on the Vedic standard, but we see that the residents of Vrindavan, Braja, they're just even beyond that position. The position of detachment from everything other than Krishna and engagement in everything in Krishna's service is complete. You know, so they're like the pinnacle of, you know. In other words, people are looking for, you know, examples in the Grihastha communities. You know, they'll look at the Amish, or they'll look at Pondicherry, or look at, you know, some of these others, the Mormons. Why not look at the Brajvasis? They're the perfect community.
Yes, for that we have to reach in the
background. Hmm. How you say? Quoting from Hamlet. Hamlet?
Yeah, Hamlet.
Therein lies the rub. Yes. Yeah. It just opens the next one. Stena means a person who steals others' wealth. Like that. So we'll stop there.
On a positive note.
On a positive note. Yeah. So basically, the Vrajavasis, they only see how it connects to Krishna, and therefore it's either favorable or not. They don't see that it's not oh, is it good for me, and then I can do this, and then think, no, it's just immediately, there's Krishna, there's what's good for pleasing Krishna, and what's not good for pleasing Krishna. That's a unique position.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.